IGGS, us and them.
Welcome everyone, my name is Jiachen and I'm a part of the organizing committee of HAGS Summer Forum 2025. And we're having a podcast recording with Dr. Pavel here and also Tatiana. So if both of you could do a bit of self-introduction very shortly, a few words about yourself and your project.
So, my name is Tatiana Tereshenko. I have two diplomas. The first one is in social anthropology. My main interest of study was ethnic studies, ethnic issues, and my second diploma is in art history. So, while studying it, I was always wondering what are the depictions of the other peoples, of the other nations in visual arts were. This was one of my main interests even then. I decided to combine in my PhD and in my further studies both topics, the ethnic studies and art history. So this is why I referred to this theme of research.
Yeah, hi. My name is Pavel Bunsen. I'm a postdoctoral researcher here at the Research Center on Anti-Gypsyism at Heidelberg University. And my research project is on anti-Gypsyism and minority subjectivity in German popular culture. And I'm looking at football, hip-hop and carnival. And I came to this research also through the interest of the images of the other, which long has also been the focus of scholars in Germany, kind of the other. So there's a history of Ziganologie, ethnologists who looked at what they called Zigeuner, gypsy people, a heavily contested term. And now anti-gypsyism research kind of turned around and is asking the question, what is the fascination for these other? Where does it come from? And also tries to bring the perspectives and voices of Sinti and Roma people into the research. And I'm trying to do this through a contemporary study of popular culture in Germany.
So let's get on with the questions first. So my first question is for you, Tatiana. Mm-hmm. So could you tell us a bit more about your approaches and methods mm-hmm. when you conduct your research, and a little bit more about the topic itself would be nice.
Good question. I think my main interest is multidisciplinary and is the mixture of approaches and scientific fields. So, because this theme is not just limited to the art history, it also concerns a lot history as it is, because images of the others depend a lot on the historical events, and I influenced a lot on, and also I like to compare different epochs. I don't like to be limited on just one. This is why I study the ancient history, the images of the artists in the ancient art and also in the medieval art, and also I have some papers concerning those of the contemporary art, and actually they have quite many similarities with these epochs. And as for the concrete methods, I think actually the visual studies are not that much rich with the methods and approaches. Maybe the main one, the most evident one, is the so-called iconology, studying images in connection with their semiotic meaning and also with their historical contexts. Also semiotics or structural functionalism, studying the images in the sum as some holistic system and their interconnection with each other, and also their semiotic meaning. And also what I never saw in Western studies, but maybe what is unique for the Russian studies, and also the studies of the images of the artists in the medieval art, is applying some philological, linguistical methods and approaches used for example, text analysis. So we have a scientist, I think he died just a while ago. His name was Sergei Makhov, if I remember correctly. He was the first to start this. He was actually originally, he was a philologist, but he also turned to studying images in the medieval art and applied his philological methods to this song.
Hey, thank you. So speaking of images, I absolutely loved your presentation yesterday. I saw a lot of very interesting, you know, those paintings. Are those paintings or just carvings?
There are different types of art objects. There are vase paintings studying from from the ancient Greece. Then there are reliefs concerning the, mostly reliefs concerning the Roman art. Yeah. And in the medieval arts, there were some paintings, there were some illuminated manuscripts, there were sculptures, so that's it.
Cool. But speaking of images, I actually saw a very interesting image in your presentation as well, Dr. Poonsen. It's a picture held by the audience of in a football stadium, wasn't it? So I'm wondering what that image was like showing or demonstrating and what kind of role it plays in the project.
Yeah, images play a big role in the project, in football and specifically in Carnival, where people are dressing. So costumes, images of costumes are then also circulated, but they are, so performance studies is one of the next to visual studies and other kind of fields that inform my project. So in football, we have these banners, flags, different ways that are created by fans. And they portray different meanings. Often they are in support of a certain team, often painted in the specific colors of a specific team. And in some instances, they are not frequent, but they happen and they show something that is there and often not recognized, namely racism, anti-Semitism, and also anti-Gypsyism, so racism against Sinti and Roma people. And the image I was showing yesterday was one in which some fans picked the faces, painted the faces of the figure of the gypsy. So this other that is very different from how Sinti and Roma are, it's kind of a something that goes back to long art history in culture, in opera and so on. So it's more of a mask, of a fantasy, of an anti-image than a depiction of actual people. And they put it together with the slogan Zickzack Zigeunerpack, so Zickzack Gypsy Pack, which is also something that is shouted at rival teams or other football teams or a group, I don't know, sometimes maybe even the police or something, some kind of enemy group. And so this is a way of uplifting the self-collective, the collective of us, in a way of we are not them, we are not the third other, but you are, your group, your fan collective, your football club is, your city is, whatever. And so this image and anti-Gypsyist language and visual depictions are used to kind of denigrate and discriminate against the other team, but also at the same time makes use of this long history of anti-Gypsyism, which is easily understood to German audiences who have a long history of anti-Gypsyism and also a very strong visual, but also, not only visual memory, what that is informed by anti-Gypsyism. Mm-hmm.
So Tatiana, would you say that the same thing also took place, like in your research, like people using visual arts to express the conflict or the differences between two groups of people or two different ideologies, such things?
I wouldn't call it ideologies. I think the ancient and the medieval art, it would be too early to talk about such articulated ideologies. But of course, they clearly used these pictures to express the differences between us and them. And sometimes, and quite often, they were actually very dichotomous. There were some qualities which were some details, some characteristics which were clearly opposed to each other. And they talked about this yesterday. There were, for example, some details of clothes, some types of weapons, some traits of appearance, whatever, all of them were counterposed to each other, and it was especially visible and especially characteristic for the depictions of the military confrontations, for the military battles, because it is clear that during some military confrontations, such or counter oppositions, such dichotomies became the most clear, the most articulated.
So, okay. So there's a very interesting thing that I noticed, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I think modern visual ways of expressing things are rather more abstract, so to speak. So they don't really give you direct visual expressions. For example, a scene in a war or in a battle, but rather some like cartoonish things with a few lines of words. Is that, would you both think that's some sort of like a better way of expression, or is it, does it actually stop people from understanding the meaning of the visual art?
So you mean modern, the today's, the contemporary art, or
from both perspectives, maybe? So which ways do you think is better? Which way do you think is better at expressing what they're trying to express?
Good question. Sorry, may I answer first? Well, in my opinion, I'm talking mostly about the art. But again, today it is not. There is no clear border between the art and other sorts of visualities like photography or whatever, advertisement. I, in my papers concerning the contemporary art, also try to touch upon this. Well, and actually it's, I can't answer it in just a couple of words. There are very different approaches. On one side, now we live in a rather post-migrant, so-called post-migrant society, when people who were concerned to be the others before became us, or so to sell us nowadays. And often the contemporary art or the contemporary visual media, so to say, represent the others as us. But so on one side, it shows their differences, but there is some ambiguities. They are us, but not, well, they are the others which are us. So if you see, for example, in the advertisement today, there are lots of images of the people of non, let's say, not European look, which before were represented as the others, but now they are depicted as just people living in the European society, which are adopted, which became us. So this is one direction in the depicting. Again, it's even hard to talk the otherness, some post-otherness, so to say. On the other side, there are some depictions represented some opponents, let's say, some conflicting groups, and they use the methods, the details, which were used in the art before. Again, this contrasted contrasted details, characteristics, and some negative details. So I would say I see two directions in the depictions of whatever you call it, let's say post-otherness or otherness. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's hard to make this differentiation when it comes to anti-gypsyism. Of course, the art forms differ from, I don't know, 16th century paintings to today's social media. But astonishingly, the imagery is more constant than changing. So depictions of fortune tellers who only offer their craft of fortune telling so that their relatives could steal behind your back something out of your pocket. And we have these paintings going centuries back, and we have these paintings today on social media or even in performances during Carnival, where you have, for instance, festival places where these people dress as gypsies. And I specifically use the term not Roma or Sinti, because they are not talking about Sinti and Roma. They're not interested in how Sinti and Roma are. They are interested in embodying this figure, which has such a long tradition in our visual culture, and not only visual culture. And they create a space where they have a caravan, where they have a fortune teller, where they have I don't know, clothing that is placed outside and not inside. They have cookingware outside, not inside. They cook on a fireplace. So everything that is not modern, that is pre-modern, that is, but also not really pre-modern. It's more like out of time. It's more like fairy tale time. So they are creating such a fairy tale time. In social media, the images often go along with text. So it's very like in the image from football, where it comes together with this zigzag Zigeunerpack. The same is true for images that we find on the Instagram channels, for instance, of these carnival organizations and Fasnacht, Schwäbisch-Alemannische Fasnacht organizations, who not only carve these wooden masks, which are very expensive, and put a lot of work into crafting these costumes, which really look like a living embodiment out of the 4th-century-old picture. So there is, of course, you can analyze some changes there, something that might be understandable to a contemporary audience today that was not 400 years ago and vice versa. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have all these constants. And then in rap music and hip hop, it comes to videos where we have some of these images. So also the media depends on the popular culture, I would believe. In football, it's more banners or stickers or graffiti that we see and have. In hip hop, it's more the videos when it comes to visual elements. And in carnival, it's really the performance on the streets and the spaces they create. And then they post pictures and videos online on YouTube and on their websites and Instagram and so on.
So something that's more close to the us and them theme stereotype. So I would assume that in your research there will be a lot of things going on within the field of stereotypes. Would you say that anti-Gypsyism is actually a result of the construction of these stereotypes? Or what kind of stereotypes are there about the Gypsies?
So the stereotypes of... there's a book title that I think is very kind of nailing it. It's on the point. Klaus-Michael Bogda, Europe is inventing the Gypsies. Europa erfindet die Zigeuner. And he shows, like other authors do and other scholars do, how around the moment that Roma people migrated to Europe in the 15th century, the creation of the Gypsy as a category, the Zigeuner, was kind of happening very quickly, and not only targeting the people who migrated as Roma to Europe, but also people who were seen as deviant, as not adapting to life, or not, I don't know, begging or something like this. And the stereotypes are also related to this stealing, begging, non-sedentary life, so nomads and all this stuff, close to magic. So there's a certain set of stereotypes that also differentiates anti-Gypsyism from anti-Semitism, anti-Black racism, and so on. Mm-hmm. And it is closely related to the development of Europe as a continent in terms of nation states, territories, the idea that a certain population, a folk, is linked to a certain land space. Is kind of developing during this time. At the same time, the development of capitalism and the idea that someone should work in a productive way, contribute to the broader good, work hard and honest. And these ideas were quite new, and they are not always fun. I mean, we're kind of working here. It's Saturday. It's 30 degrees outside. I was just sitting in the bus with people going to the Schwimmbad, to the pool, bringing the children. And we worked yesterday until the evening. We worked today in a way. I mean, it's fun to talk about this, and I enjoy this. But at the same time, people who adopt to life under capitalist societies and the nation states, there's kind of a longing and a need for, in German we would say Dampf ablassen, a let off steam. Mm-hmm. And the projection onto another who is the opposite of what we are supposed to be. It's like going on a vacation and then going back to work. Go to 1 week, enjoy yourself, and then you're refreshed for kind of functioning, getting up on Monday at 6 a.m. to go to the office or go to to the supermarket and scan articles and so on. And I think anti-gypsyism really has an important function here, and the stereotypes are linked to the function that anti-gypsyism has as the projection that there is someone who is not adapting to this, mm-hmm. who is not by ethnicity, by race, not capable of doing this kind of work and living this lifestyle, completely ignoring that the societies and the countries we live in and the authorities, the police, so kind of we Europeans did this to them. Deportations, centuries of deportations, creating poor housing conditions, forcing them to live there, and then kind of complaining about their way of life mm-hmm. and so on. So there's kind of this interesting real history that is linked to this fantasy mm-hmm. world of stereotypes.
Okay. Well, thank you. What about you? Do you, in your research, is there any point of time that you realize that some of the visual arts mm-hmm. might be like constructing or deconstructing stereotypes against or for certain people? Is it a thing?
Yes, of course. You can say, yeah, that honestly, I don't like using these terms like constructing mm-hmm. stereotypes, deconstructing stereotypes in application to this early epochs. I think it's more modern or more contemporary constructs. But yeah, to some extent you can say so. Of course, they use some instruments to create, or so to say, that is to say, to construct some stereotypes, visual images, yes. And you asked for some groups, or what do you mean?
Yeah, maybe because you mentioned mm-hmm. there are battles, like yes, yes. visual arts. Some mm-hmm. of the pictures, mm-hmm. some of the yeah. paintings depict mm-hmm. scenes of the battles. Mm-hmm. For whom are these paintings painted, so to speak, and what kind of effects do they try to achieve?
This is a very good question indeed. Again, since there are quite various images and I have a very long time span I study, they vary a lot. And also since these are very remote epochs, we can't ask the audience what they think about it, about them, what they used to them for. We can only assume the most difficult object are Greek vase paintings. I can tell you that, and Pavel asked me about that yesterday. I already responded him that according to the highest quality, and according to as we can just judge upon the teams upon some details, we can see that they were intended for quite educated audience and for people of rather high status. So there is a very famous scientist, François Lissarac. His works have a very big influence on the studying of this topic, and he believes that these objects, these vessels decorated by these images, were created for wine drinking and for symposiums. So people, it were exclusively men of high societies, came to these banquets, and they were drinking and discussing something, and used these objects, these vessels. I believe that they were rather intended for some rituals, and mostly for funerals. They have a very complicated semiotic, which had lots of layers, and referred at the same time to some contemporary events and also to mythology and rituals. So as for Roman objects, it's more easy to respond because we know that they were created for propaganda, for the most broad society, for propagating them the ideas of the majesty of the Roman state. So, and also it's more complicated with the medieval images. I think most of them were created, were also created for some private use, for some narrow circles, and also of a very high status, because it was either illuminated manuscripts, which were very expensive, or paintings intended for also or also wall paintings, which also all of them or most of them were intended for some narrow groups. So, and they represented their maybe some private interests, their political ambitions, and something like this.
Hey, yeah. Thank you so very much. I guess our time is up. And I want to thank you both again for adjusting to our very tight schedule. And yeah, I hope you have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for organizing this very interesting event. Thank you.
Pleasure.